Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But last week, we started our new series called Now What? We finished up a 16-week series following Jesus in his life and his ministry. And then on Easter, we talked all about Jesus coming back and showing us once and for all, he is God. His death covers our sins, and just flat out, I'm going to tell you, if you don't have something to celebrate, I'm going to tell you Easter is when you will celebrate, and it shows us Jesus is awesome, okay? That's the whole point behind Easter. Jesus is awesome, and he showed us how awesome and amazing he is. But after everything that he has done, everything that God had fulfilled, we have this question of, now what? And so Jesus left his followers with what is called the Great Commission. We talked about that last week. And this is for every single person that claims to be a follower of Christ. This is your mission. This is your charge. This is your call from Jesus on what to do with your life that you've been given. And we read that out of Matthew 28. And Jesus said, I have all authority everywhere. Jesus is letting everyone know. He says, I am king. So listen up to what I have to tell you. And then he said, starting off, I want you. It's not just the pastor. It's not just one person. It is you. All of you who are called, all of you who are saying, yes, I believe in Jesus. He's talking to you. And he says, go and make disciples, or what is followers of Jesus, in all nations, meaning for every human being on this earth. We are to spread the good news about Jesus Christ, share the truth about that all-loving God that we know, that wants to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sins. And after people hear the truth and they accept it in their hearts, we are told that we are to baptize them. That means to go into that water, to confess what you know to be true with your mouth, go under that water, be washed new in the name of God the Father, Jesus, who is the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit, who is God who lives in us. And then we have this huge task after this. It's not that we're supposed to spread the truth and then leave them. That's not what Jesus asked us to do. But Jesus says we are to teach them what God has commanded us. Those things that we know are true, we have to teach them how to follow it. Those things that you are learning how to do to follow God, we are to teach others on how to do that as well. All those things that God has taught you, we need to make sure that we are spreading that teaching and helping one another as we walk through this life trying to follow God. Teach people on what it really looks like, because it is hard to do. If you are just told the truth and then sent on your own way, you're going to find yourself pretty lost. You're going to find yourself feeling alone. You're definitely going to feel like you're messing things up. And so that's why we are called to teach one another, to help each other. And then Jesus ended with a promise that he'll be with us to the very end of age, that God is never going to leave us, and we are going to be with God when we leave this place. And so that's where we're picking up today. Jesus has given us that great commission, and we're going to pick up right after that. It's going to be Acts 1, Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. And it says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So everything has happened. Jesus lived. He cured people. He taught like no other with authority. He foretold his own death and resurrection. He dies on a cross. He's buried in a tomb. He rises from the grave like he said he would happen. He appears to his followers. He shows them over and over again that he is alive, and then he gives them a mission. And then we read verse 3, after Jesus suffered, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he is in fact alive. And Jesus appears to them for over 40 days, all the while preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. So we have to understand what this is like to be in the situation of the disciples. So Jesus has come back, and he stuck around with them for 40 more days. This is a long time. If I told you that you were going to be hanging out with someone that you love for 40 days, depending on who it is, you may say, wow, that is awesome. I get so much time with this person. Or if you do not like them, 40 days definitely feels like a long time. Feels like 40 years. And you're starting to think, when are you going home? But here, they thought Jesus was dead. They thought it was over. He rises from the grave and he doesn't just say, I'm back and leave. No, he stays for over a month, still helping them, teaching them, showing them. It's not a small amount of time. And Jesus starts to get them ready for what is next. And he starts telling them about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus keeps saying, there's going to be a gift that God has promised you. You're going to get this gift to help you carry out your mission. It's going to help you live this life. You're going to get to be with God. It sounds like another amazing thing. I would be like a child if Jesus looked at me and he says, just wait a little bit. God is going to give you a gift. And I would be like, oh, a gift? What's it look like? You know, what's it going to be? You know, I hope I don't go the way like, ooh, I would love that car. You know, that would not be. But like, what kind of gift are you giving me? How will I even know that I have it? Like, is it going to be obvious? Like, am I going to know in this moment? Ooh, I feel a tingle, you know, a God tingle. I don't know. I have no clue what it would be. But how amazingly awesome would it be to know that God has a gift for you specifically? And you're going, me? I'm a nobody. I'm a sinner. I'm kind of a loser. But you know what? God doesn't see it that way because he's given me a gift. It's so amazing. And so the disciples, they gather and they go to Jesus to ask a question and they say, so great, when are we getting our kingdom back? When is Jerusalem going to be on top again? When are we going to rule? What? That's your question? And I understand where they're coming from. And that's because the teachers of the law have been teaching and they've been saying, well, you know what? When the Messiah comes, when the Savior comes, that Jerusalem's going to be restored. And so they think they're going to be conquerors and they're going to rule and it's going to be awesome and they'll be powerful. But not once has Jesus said to them, you're going to be rulers and conquerors. Actually, Jesus always taught the opposite. He always taught about being a servant, about how we're going to be a light in a dark world. Not rulers over the people of this world. And Jesus responds in verse 7, it's not for you to know. You're not going to know God's plan. That's not how this works. He's got his own timing. I know you're wanting something. And Jesus says, but guys, you're getting a power. You're getting this gift. And it's going to be the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be awesome. And we have to understand the Holy Spirit is not a what. Like, well, how do I take this box or this thing? No, the Holy Spirit is a who. And the who is God. And it's God living in us. Now, this is where it kind of gets interesting again because Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is coming, okay? And then he says it and all of a sudden he just kind of raises up into the sky right before their very eyes. And as they're watching, a cloud comes by and it hides him from their sight. And what do the disciples do? Well, they do the exact same thing that I would do. Probably the same thing that you would do. You're sitting there waiting. And you're kind of going, what just happened? They've never seen that before. They didn't see Jesus just ascend or rise into the sky and disappear. And so it says they're staring intently up in the sky, like, what? Where? How? I don't understand what's going on. And it's, you get this like view with these men that are trying to figure out what just happened. And it's kind of comedic because people are people no matter what. I can only imagine how we'd react today. It's probably pretty close how they reacted then. But they're staring mouth open in the sky and they're just going, what just happened here? What did we witness? Is he coming back? Like, he came back from the dead, so it makes sense he can fly? Maybe he's doing his Superman thing. I don't know. They're trying to wrap their heads around what's happening, and they're just waiting. And I always wonder, how long were they staring into that sky? They were like, okay, well, anybody see him? No, not yet. Okay. And they're all just waiting. And then these two men, dressed in white, just appear beside them. And again, probably very humorous. You have this group of guys looking into the sky, and they're looking at them like, what are you doing? Like, what's happening here? And one of them says, men of Galilee! Oh, I'm sure there was a scream. Oh! Where'd you guys come from? Like, what's happening? Like, we're staring at Jesus ascending into the sky there, waiting for him to come back. And they stand there and they go, guys, why are you looking in the sky? Jesus is gone. They actually say, Jesus has gone to heaven. He's with his Father now. He's not just floating around up there hiding behind a cloud, okay? That's not what's happening. No, he's gone. Like, he's already went home to be with his Father. And it's okay because he will come back someday the same way that you saw him leave today. And so these guys are sitting there staring into the sky. Jesus is already in heaven with his Father. And I'm sure they're sitting there going, what do we do now? Now what? And I imagine the guys are sitting there going, chop, chop, it's time to work. Jesus gave you a mission, right? Let's go. Move on. Get out of here. Stop staring into the sky. He's gone. Move on. You have a job to do. And they sit there and go, now what? Jesus was here and he's gone again. But at least we have a mission. We know what we're supposed to do. But knowing what we're supposed to do doesn't mean we know how to do it. Because if I told you that I want you to do something specific, but I didn't tell you how to do it, you're going to go, wait, what? How do I make this happen? And so they were told, well, okay, we're going to get this gift and this helper from God, but it hasn't happened yet, so what can we do in the meantime? And how can we get this started? And you have to remember, this is the beginning. There were no churches for Jesus. There were no Christians. They had to spread the news. There's only a couple hundred of them total that actually believe in all of this. And he's saying, well, I want you to go and make the church. If I were to tell you that today, and you have never been into a church in your life, and I said, spread the news of Jesus and then gather, you'd be like, what does that look like? I don't know. What's God telling you? And that's why they're waiting. But we also have this same thought process today. When we know that Jesus is God's Son, and that he died for us, that he rose again, and then we're baptized, and we start learning more and reading our Bibles, and we start thinking, now what? What do you want me to do? I know the truth. I've accepted it. I know the things that I need to do in my life, but what would you like me to do? And this is not just for the new believers. This is for everyone that believes, because life is full of seasons. We have different times when things are going strong and great, and you're like, God is leading me. I can feel it. It's amazing. And then we have other times where we're just sitting there wondering, what are we doing? What's next? What does God want for me, from me? What's the next right move? And these are fantastic questions. But just as the disciples had to do, you have to wait on God. You have to wait on his timing, his plans to be revealed. Too often we say, I'm excited, let's go! And so we start doing it our own way, in our own power. And it makes us feel stuck and lost. And we're like, I swear my heart is for this, so I have to do this because it's going to be great, right? And we may gain some traction, but it seems to just fall short. It just seems a little off, like maybe I'm not doing it right. And that's because we're trying to make things happen on our own power. We have to make sure we are being led by God in all ministry that we're doing. Whether it's one-on-one conversation with friends and family or you are running a ministry itself, we have to make sure it is God-led. It has to be something that we're doing for him. But that also does not mean that we should not do anything. I've already heard that where I'm just waiting for God to lead me. And I'm like, oh, okay, how long has it been? 17 years. And I'm like, okay, What have you done in the meantime? I'm waiting. Okay, that sounds like a real easy route. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're still supposed to go and spread the good news. Talk to people about Jesus. To really go out there and make sure that we're following him and spreading that news to everyone we know. And so when you keep reading Acts here, 1, 12 through 20, we see that the men decide, okay, well, we're not going to go out and do ministry, but we're going to go ahead and take the things that are already in place and bring them back to what they should be. And so they do not have a 12th disciple right now, and that's what Jesus originally had was 12. So they use the scriptures to determine that this is a good thing to do. Like, we need to pick a 12th person because Judas, who was one of the 12 disciples, he betrayed Jesus and he ended his life because of his guilt. And it left a hole. So we know that this is how it was supposed to be made. Jesus chose the 12. Well, let's go ahead and fill that spot. And so we're going to keep reading Acts 1, 21 through 26. Acts 1, 21 through 26. It says, "Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and then Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. So what do? They take what's already made and they make some guidelines. So who's going to fit into this? It has to be someone who was there the whole time. Needs to be a witness firsthand. Someone that witnessed all the way back from John's baptism, that's at the beginning of the ministry, all the way to the time that Jesus went Superman up into the clouds, okay? Someone that has been there. Now for me, this raises a lot of questions that I want to have answered. Because who else was there? These were just two men that were chosen. There were more than two that have been there the whole time. Now, obviously, it doesn't truly matter. This is just my curiosity. But we see these two men who are nominated for this spot. Joseph, also called Barsabbas, but his best name by far, Justice. Like, come on, how cool is that name? Who are you? I'm Justice. Okay, I believe you. And then you have the other side, which is Matthias. Those are the two men that have been there through it all. And so they take these two names and they say, this is who can fill this role. And in doing this, they do something called casting lots. It'd be kind of like throwing a dice today. But if we truly believe that God is in control and you want to make sure none of this is biased by people, so like it's not like a popular vote, well, who likes Matthias more? Like that's not what they're doing. It's God, we want you to choose. So they cast the lots and it lands on Matthias. It's made the 12th apostle. Again, so many questions. And that's because we almost hear nothing about Matthias or Justice. But with that being said, just because we do not read their story, it does not mean that they didn't have a huge impact on this world and the people in it. Matthias is now one of the 12. You're talking, this is the big names. Everybody's like, oh my goodness, it's Peter and John and Matthew. And they're so excited. And then you're like, and Matthias. And they're like, who? Who's that? It's because we don't really have his story. And then you say, well, you know, and Matthias was chosen over Justice. The justice system failed him? What? No. Justice the person. Well, I've never heard of him. But that's okay. They had roles to play. They served God just as well. We just don't have the stories to tell. Again, this is something that we can relate to. We ask that question all the time. What role do we play? Where do I fit in to God's story? Where do I actually matter? Like, am I doing something that actually matters at all? Because it feels like everything I do just falls short and nothing's happening. And I want to give you a really simple, quick answer. That if you are serving God, you're doing what he's asked you to do, no matter what it is what you're doing matter? Yes, it truly matters. Whatever you are doing to serve God right now. It matters. I don't care if you only talk to one person over and over again, and God's just pushing you to talk with a single person, and you're trying to tell them all about Jesus and showing them in your life how He's living through you and how He is so amazing. I'm going to tell you right now, you did great. If you are serving in the background in any way, shape, or form, and that is where God wants you to serve, it has a huge impact. Serve where God wants you to serve in every single way, because it matters. A couple of very common questions that I'm asked all the time is, number one, am I doing this right? And you may be asking, doing what right? They mean everything. Life, ministry, talking to people. Am I even doing this right? Because it doesn't always feel like I'm doing it right. Or if you're in a ministry and it's no longer running, people ask all the time, did I fail? Did the ministry just completely fall flat? And people have even said to me, I've talked to others about Christ over and over again. I tell them about Jesus and I tell them how amazing He is, and they just will not give their heart to Him. Did I fail at the mission that Jesus gave us all? The Great Commission to go and make disciples, because nobody seems to actually be following. And I always ask the same question back first for everyone. Did you do what God has asked you to do? And if you can say, yeah, I did what God has asked me to do, then you've done well. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. It doesn't matter if it did not turn out the way you wanted or expected it to. If you did what God has called you to do, you did well. When it comes to spreading the good news of Jesus, it is not your responsibility to make them believe. The church has had that thought process for thousands of years. If you don't know the ugliness of the church over the years, they've done some horrible things to say, you have to believe and we're going to make you. But that's not what we're supposed to do. You're not going to make people believe. Jesus gave parables about spreading the good news. He said some of it's going to fall on hard rocks, some of it's going to fall into weeds, and some will fall on good soil. But you also may never see it actually sprout. You cannot change people's hearts. We cannot make people accept Jesus. But what we can do is give them the truth. We can show them with our lives and our choices on how we follow God and with all the words that we can speak from God's word here in the Bible. And we get to be this light to the world. But again, you cannot take the darkness away from the world. So many say, well, there's still so many people suffering and there's so many people that still don't know. You cannot fix that. God is the only one that changes hearts. God is the only one who saves. We just get this amazing ability to serve Him. He wants us. We get to be a tool used to glorify Him. Now, this was a really hard lesson for me before I came here to Buckeye. The church that I started, that I ran, that I put my literal blood, sweat, and tears into, I want you to know it is gone. That church no longer exists. One Hope Church in Indiana, it's completely gone, and it will never come back. And I had those thoughts. What did I do wrong? I had these feelings of failure. Well, obviously, I screwed everything up, and now it's all bad. Nothing good has come of this. I had those feelings of, well, my time was wasted. I put 8 years into that, and now it's gone. What was it all for? And I have to tell you, it's all lies. It's lies I tell myself, lies the devil tell me, because it all comes down to the same thing. God called me. He called me to start that church in Indiana. God asked me to do something, and I did it. And I can look at so many people that went to that church where we helped them know the truth, because I was there firsthand, and I can see where some of them are today, and it is amazing. They are leaders of the church. They are outspreading the gospel. They're changing their families' lives, their friends' lives. And I sit back and go, yeah, but the church is gone. The building is gone. The organization is gone. And God's saying, the church isn't gone. They spread out. They're going and making the church be what needs in the world. So yeah, the building, it's gone, completely gone. And it made me doubt myself, doubt my choices, doubt the moves that I made. But I left that church, and everything was running. People were on fire. And the thing is, a crazy series of events happened that I never could have thought would happen. But God knew. He was in control. And one hope, the church, the purpose it had, it was served. And we have to sit back and say, God, I know you led me. This is not the outcome I wanted. This is not the outcome that I expected. But God, I know that you had me there for a reason. God, I know you had me work in all of this for a reason. And we have to sit back and say, I trust you completely. I trust your plans. I trust in your ways. I trust whatever it is that you want for me and from me. And this is what the first church had to do. They felt lost. They felt alone. They knew they had this big job in front of them, and now Jesus is gone. The one that has led them. He came back from the dead, and then he left again. And they're sitting there going, now what, God? Now what? And thank God that these men decided, we're going to follow God's plan through this. He's proved to us that he knows what's best, that he's all good, to wait for God's leading. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Because he said, wait. Wait for the gift. Wait for the power. Then you can go. Because God's going to equip you with it. And the gift that God is going to give them is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we have that gift today. So that's what we're going to talk about all next week, is the Holy Spirit. I get a little fired up. Hopefully, I won't go too fast. But this is my challenge for everyone. You have that question. Now what? It seems so simple, but it's not. Listen for God. Truly sit back and listen. Serve where you can. Minister to all in your life. And for those really big moves, those big questions, wait for God's guidance. Wait for his calling. But never, ever stop serving and spreading the news of Jesus Christ. If you want to know now what, it's following him. So I've been sharing this with a lot of different ministries that are happening here in this church and people that I'm talking to. I understand how hard it is to wait. Right now, God has me in a time of waiting. I am not a person that likes to sit back. Okay, that's just not me. And God has been telling me, just wait. And I just keep saying, for what? And he just says, just wait. And I have to sit back and wait. But I'm still going to keep serving. I'm not saying, sorry, I'm not preaching this week. God has me waiting. So like, that's not what it is. It's what's next. Where are we going next, Lord? Take that in your life as well.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.